Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
We are joined by the University of the Philippines President, Mr. Angelo Jimenez. He's currently visiting us here in Brisbane and meeting with Queensland-based UP alumni. Welcome to Brisbane, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm enjoying this balmy and beautiful weather in Brisbane right now, and I'm very happy to be here.
So it's been 2 years since you stepped into this formidable role, leading an Asian Ivy League university into what you said would be a journey of leading the university into a global leader in education and research. Can you tell us briefly what that looks like and how has this visit been beneficial in terms of achieving that?
What we're trying to do right now is focus on our role as a leading research and graduate school for the country. We have been a teaching university for over 100 years. We have produced so many graduates, over 300,000, and some of the leaders of our country, we have produced those things. But I think the time has changed. Beyond producing leaders for the country, to man the bureaucracy, to man the private sector, our goal right now is to focus on research and innovation and creating industry through technological discovery and application. So that means that the biggest contribution we can do right now is to produce graduates after the postgraduate. But we will still keep our undergrad. And so there are several things I did. Among the other things, of course, was to create the, like every university right now, an office for digital transformation headed by a vice president. So we are looking at researchers that look at industries, creating industries, providing jobs, and raising the level of technological development in the country right now.
So just recently, I want to touch on the current events happening in the Philippines back home. And there was a nationwide student-led protest as more of these corruption allegations relating to flood control continue to come up. Can you please enlighten us of the scale of the issue and how much this has influenced funding for education and critical science?
The level of corruption that is being unearthed right now and unraveling before the face of the country is something that is not just a student concern. It has shocked the entire range of the population. What you are seeing is actually an expurgation of frustration and anger, not just for this corruption, but over the years of neglect for the education system, and it is now being addressed. As a matter of fact, it was being addressed, except that when it came out at a time like this, it just really added to that. So maybe you can divide it into three levels. Number one, of course, is the continuing rivalry and competition among the candidates that is really exacerbating the situation. The other one is the general popular outrage over not just corruption, but the extent of the corruption, the brazenness of what they're hearing. And then finally, the youth outrage. Well, you say that for the future, it was a very good way of looking at it. But, you know, I'm supporting these expressions of protest and anger because it means that our students are still very concerned about the future. They have not become deadened to corruption. And that's a very good sign. But I always stress, as a president of the National University, a public institution, I always stress to our students to use constitutional and lawful means. You see, all these things that we unraveled right now inside hearings, federal investigations, are basically basis for profiling cases. The true battle is in the courts. And we're hoping that this process can have a positive impact if it strengthens our institutions, particularly our judicial institutions. So I hope that there is no demand for quick fixes that will only create future problems. I was a student activist. I was a student leader. And I have always tried to preserve the particular tradition of the student. It is not a bad thing to become an activist today. But I define it as activism, meaning you care for your country enough to act.
For many of those Filipinos who were not old enough to remember what happened in the early 80s, I just feel like this is reminiscent, or it has the elements of of the days leading up to the 1986 revolution, you know, where the sheer rage of the UP students were the ones that drove the nation to saying, you know, enough is enough. And next year would be 40 years since the 1986 revolution. How do you see this age of activism to be different from how you remember it when you were an activist yourself? And how do you see UP playing a role in turning things around this time?
I remember I was a participant. I was a student in the EDSA, first EDSA. I remember it was framed as an anti-fascist, anti-kleptocratic movement, and a return to democracy. We tried to do innovations like the partyless system, but the partyless system eventually was captured by the enemy. And so right now, I think that the legacy of EDSA did not meet the expectations of the people. So here we are again, reliving that. Right now, it cannot just really be a student movement. There has to be more than just a student movement. It has to be a broad movement of believing the people, multi-sectoral movement. And it has to result in really systemic changes, not just strengthen institutions. That is our only hope. It cannot be based on individual morality alone, but the institutions that incentivize a good governance and an institution that produces a very literate electorate who can pick leaders. And that means on the part of the university, I have defined it as building a constituency, a political constituency for science. By saying that, I mean educating our Filipinos on evidence-based scientific solution. Science must have a vote, or it will never be listened to. And we will go back to this again and again.
This issue the scientific community is facing is not unique to the Philippines. Obviously, you would be very much aware of the challenges Australian universities and institutions like the CSIRO are facing at the moment, facing budget cuts as well. How much of that do you think is going to impact the current opportunities that UP is exploring with these institutions?
Yes, as a matter of fact, one of the positive things that came out of this corruption crisis, including the slew of natural events, though, the earthquake and the floods and the typhoons, is that there is a rare window of opportunity where policymakers at the very highest level are listening to universities right now. But what I'm just saying is that it's just too far removed from the science of it that it has been. Can you imagine spending billions of infrastructure, flood control projects on floodplains? No human infrastructure can win against nature. I mean, if it's a floodplain, it's a floodplain. It will flood. So what I'm just saying is that a window has opened and we are seizing this opportunity, and I'm seeing really positive results in terms of support for not just the budget, but support for other needs of universities as a whole, but including, of course, the University of the Philippines. I focus on the positive, saying some good things are happening. They're willing to listen to us right now. If we do not speak and speak convincingly and act on what we said, this window will close. And these disastrous events that has happened over the last month has helped us in a way, no matter how negative it sounds, has helped us raise the voice of science. And I would use that voice of science.
Keeping the conversation within global partnership and sciences, I just remember there's a long-standing partnership between the University of the Philippines and the International Rice Research Institute based in Los Baños, Laguna, that's recently been in the news for talks about them having been asked to leave the area owned by the University of the Philippines. Where are we at? Where is that story at? And how does UPC carrying on this legacy in terms of your vision, in terms of global leadership in education and critical science research?
Oh, I have said this time and again. I have said this at the ERI Board of Trustees meeting several times. I have even put it in writing because I'm a member of the Board of Trustees of ERI. That we want ERI to continue. We want ERI to continue collaborating with the University of the Philippines and with the country. We think that ERI is a positive presence. But the term has ended, and we just wanted to reorganize the partnership on a more stable basis for the next 25 years. It's been here for over 50 years. it has contributed a lot, but we just want to position our partnership so that we can take advantage of the future together. Our door is open and the process of negotiations never stopped. We want to continue negotiations. Because when Ely was there over 50 years ago, we were at a certain level of development. And right now, UPLB is becoming a very big campus. It is producing a lot of research. It has its expansion dreams as well. And so what we're looking at is a rationalization, a reorganization of Ireland Holdings. And we want them to have enough space to do their project. And if they're not using it, we would like to occupy some of it as part of UP's expansion plans. And if they still want more, we still have more for them that we can negotiate. But all of these things, I cannot go into details because these are topics of debate. But let me just erase that notion that we want them out. No. Well, there were statements made below my level, but my political statement and my policy statement is that we want to renegotiate for a renewal of Ely's continued operations in University of Philippines ground, but we want it to be rationalized and we wanted it to be mutually beneficial and forward-looking because the world has changed.
You're obviously taking the time to catch up with all the UP alumni based here. Some of them are studying here, pursuing higher education to take it back to the Philippines. What do you think has been the biggest influence of UP to the careers of many of the people here right now?
First of all, UP enjoys a very big, very, very, very good international reputation. And our students are enrolled in some of the best universities, almost all the best universities in Australia. This one I can say, the education partnership between Australia and the Philippines is very strong and it's getting very strong. It's getting even stronger. And UP is a major partner of many Australian universities. Let me tell you, Monash University, we're partnering with them on many areas, especially now on forensic medicine. That's one of our areas right now. And I'm proceeding to the University of Adelaide to partner with their Institute for Machine Learning and Robotics right now. So you can see the caliber of the partnership between Philippine universities, particularly the University of the Philippines and Australian universities, with a very, very high technical level. And the amount of the sheer scale of the scholarships and opportunities provided by the Australian government shows that they're very interested in the Philippines. And I think that we are within the strategic scope of their vision.
Just finally, if we are able to, like in an ideal world, if we can solve all those public governance issues back home and we were able to put maybe additional 25% on UP funding, where would you spend it on?
I will build laboratories. I will build labs. I will endow more for research. I will try to quintuple our production of PhDs. That's where I'm going. But focus on research PhDs. We need those commanders if you're going to create an army of science. So I want to develop science leaders.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
President Jimenez.
E-like, e-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.